Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
3 is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity.
Oh, yeah. Magic number for the fish. Don't care about the results from us on the field yesterday. Thank goodness for the Nationals. Not acting like annoying Nats. Acting like good Nats. Getting the win for the fish. 2 wins yesterday. Putting the magic number at 3. Trying to close this thing out. Get ourselves to the postseason. Because you know what they say. Once you get in, you're in. And anything can happen. Yee. Magic number. No further questions, Mean Gene.
Thanks, Macho. Appreciate that, man. Yes, man, the magic number for the fish is now down to 3. That is the magic number for this hour. We are going to have number 3, Dwayne Wade, join us in just about 15 minutes or so. We will talk a little Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 with the best Miami Heat player ever. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. And so he is going to join us, and we'll get his thoughts on where things lie with the Heat and Celtics. Looking forward to that. And we also have Jason Jackson joining us next hour. But let's get right to it, since we got to make room for a lot of stuff in this show. Let's get right to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by the Orion Fuels Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. It is a night of nerves tonight. Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, Game 4, 8:30 tip-off from the bubble, which means 7:15. Zaslo and Tommy Tighe will have the pregame right here on the ticket.
Nice.
I'm not that nervous about that game. Well, either way, you know, if the Heat win up 3-1, great. If they lose, it's still 2-2. You still got a series. So I'm not stressing out about that too much.
I've never seen such negative reaction to a 2-1 series lead. It is bananas to me. We weren't this negative when they went up 2-1 on the Mavericks in 11. You guys gotta chill the F out.
I'll get nervous on Friday night for Game 5, if you know.
Sure, yeah. Friday night's tonight's a nerve-worthy night because it's a big game, all right? But it's more so on the positive side. If you get tonight's game, you're putting a death grip on the series. It's not over because, yeah, 3-1 has been taken over in the bubble. But, dude, you have how many opportunities to win just one game? Like, it's a huge night. Friday's a dirty pants game. Friday is like 2-2. It's a huge swing in the series if it's 2-2. So, yeah. I mean, but if they win tonight, then we'll watch it Friday in our tuxedos, in our monocles, in our top hats.
But this game I'm way more nervous about. 7:10 first pitch, Marlins and Braves, Game 3. It is a Noche de Sixto, but he is going up against Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves. That game, I am super nervous.
Here's the problem with the Heat. The implications of this game are at their highest. Right? Because if the Heat win, chances are, it's not going to happen again.
They're probably going to the finals if they
win
tonight.
Where a team comes down for 3-1, the chances, you know, of that happening are slim.
Yep.
If they lose, now you're playing best out of three.
Yep.
And you've lost two in a row, more importantly.
Yep.
So tonight's game is probably more important than any other game in the series simply because of the implications of it. Also, I saw the old stat.
You saw a stat?
That up 2-0, the Heat are like 47-1.
Yeah, the Heat have never blown a 2-0 lead. Oh, maybe once, but I'm trying to think of
one time. I don't think Spo ever has. I don't think Spo's ever blown
a 2-0 lead. I don't know if Riley has.
I don't know. I know that because I'm trying to think. The closest they got would have been, what, the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, because they went up 2-0 to Boston, went to Boston. Then they lost two. It was 2-2. Came back. They obviously lost that infamous game five. Good job, good effort game with that kid that everybody mocked. Then you had LeBron James, greatest game of his life. And game seven, of course, them winning in the building. But, you know, yeah, it's not a common thing for Miami. Usually they're getting a grip on the series. They're in a good spot.
Well, it happened.
They usually turn it. Here's what they do. They do better than a lot of teams. They adjust either with their mentality, either with, you know, the grit, you know, they bear down, and they usually don't allow. Didn't they, weren't they up two on Dallas?
No,
that was 1-1.
It was 1-1. They
did blow game two
in Dallas. They blew game two. They should have been up 2-0.
Okay.
And then
okay.
It was the reverse in 2006 where Dallas was up 2-0 and the Heat came back and won 4-0.
Well, I'll give you another recent example. Another close call for the Heat. So the man coming up next could appreciate this. 2016, they were up 2-0 on the Charlotte Hornets. And then the Hornets won the next three games. And there was all that controversy in game five. Yeah, then game six, purple shirt guy.
And then Gogi closing it out in game seven.
Yeah, but those are the closest calls to the Heat, you know, blowing a 2-0 lead.
So, which even more so, wow. Translation, what? Leroy hate watching. Leroy doing Heat verbal jujitsu.
What?
That's not me.
even that one's a little bit out of left field for me, Leroy.
Right.
The only thing that, like, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but the thing that I am a little bit worried about with the Heat, I feel like too much has been made of this starting the game narrative. I think that it almost can have a negative effect on the Heat if they don't get off to a good start, it can almost be like the self-fulfilling prophecy. Like it almost, you'll get too down on yourself for having a terrible first quarter when, look, this is how they've played. They've been a counterpunching team that has had some rough first quarters, even dating back to the Pacers series where they've let teams get off to really good starts. And they seem to bide their time, make the adjustments, and put the clamps on it late in games. That's how they've won. That's been their style.
I'm starting to see a trend from these playoffs also. The aggressor is being rewarded. And anytime a team has been aggressive, so even when you look at the Lakers and the Nuggets, the first two games, LeBron, AD were very aggressive going to the rim.
Okay.
And a lot of the Nuggets got in foul trouble.
Yep.
Look at last night. Look at what the Celtics did game three. A lot more aggressive, almost to the point where they looked like they were forcing the issue. A bunch of fouls. I mean, I've never seen teams getting a bonus with 9 minutes left to go in a quarter.
Yeah.
And that's happened a couple of times. So if that's any indication of what it's going to be, then the texter points out, hey, when you get Kemba Walker on the blocks, Jimmy Butler, you got to take him to the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put pressure on the officials to make a call. And then you get these guys in foul trouble.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things where I hope that too much isn't put into the start, because I feel like that's just been the storyline for the Heat is the start. And look, it's I know they've looked for this elusive 48 minutes of perfection from themselves. And yeah,
so is everybody.
You would obviously love to see that. But the NBA, probably more so than any sport, is a game of runs, and not getting down on yourself and being able to come back, I think, is a pretty great thing about this team. And I don't want it to be overblown and be the focus topic. And same thing with Jimmy Butler, you know, expecting him to go out there and shoot a bunch. That happened to Giannis the last series, where people were like, Giannis, go shoot all the shots, bro. Why are you only taking this many field goals? And it's just like, you get away too much from how you play by listening to too much of the noise. And I think it can really mess you up, especially if it doesn't go your way. I think it almost can almost be more of a detriment to you.
Here's what also sucks. I don't know what it is about basketball, but when the superstar is feeling it and he is aggressive and scores 20 points in the first half, a lot of watching going on.
Mm-hmm.
So then when that shooter gets cold, and then starts passing it, it almost seems like the rest of the team's not ready for it. So I understand why guys want to get their guys involved early. Because when you do have to be more aggressive and handle the ball a little bit more, your guys aren't just standing watching because they've been an active participant in the game to that point.
What do we? What else do we got, Robbie? Let's get into more headlines.
And the game is probably the least stressful of all the games. Inter Miami is taking on the New York Red Bulls tonight at 8:00.
Toby, can I watch it? Is it on Fox?
No, it's on ESPN Plus, which I think will be blacked out, and you're stuck.
First of all, I pay for ESPN Plus. Why is anything getting blacked out? I'm paying for extra ESPN. Why are you guys dictating?
So you can't even. ESPN Plus?
Because
I've tuned into many Inter Miami games, tried to tune in on ESPN Plus, and I can't watch, which doesn't even make sense, because the whole point of a blackout is on digital is to get you to watch the local broadcast for ratings, which I can't do because we don't get the games up here. And everybody's like...
Oh, so wait. So ESPN is blocking it, but you can't get it locally.
I would assume who broadcasts it locally? Is it CBS, Robbie?
Yeah, Channel 4 for us, yes.
Okay, so Channel 4 is blocking it locally. So I assume they have the blackout digitally on ESPN. But the only thing is, I don't get CBS 4 up here. We get CBS 12. They're not broadcasting the soccer, or they haven't been. So I've been going to ESPN Plus to try and watch the games. Can't watch the games.
Yeah,
If it's weird that it's blacked out,
I know,
and you're out of the area.
I know. Yeah, I don't think ESPN Plus knows that you're out of the area. I think it just has like a 75-mile radius of Inter Miami, and everyone there is blacked out.
He's 110 miles out.
And it's one of those things where people are like, oh, Tobin, download the app. Hey, man, look, I'm trying to be a soccer fan. I'm trying, okay? You can't get mad at me. I've watched some games, but... To download the app, and I got to put in my info and all the stuff.
Hey, man.
So it's a lot of work.
There's a couple of fringe sports out there. If I got to do too much work
to be
an active participant in said sport, I ain't watching.
I love fighting. I barely like to do it for fighting with DAZN and all that stuff. Trust me.
You did have the 5 screens rocking the other day.
I did, but I already had those things set up. But, you know, to do it on the midst of a game night where there's 6 other things going on and the Marlins and Heat are already happening, nah, not tonight, man. Maybe later. Maybe if it was at a different time, but not now. All right, Leroy, let's get right to it, man. Dwayne Wade, Heat legend. We'll talk a little Game 4 Eastern Conference Finals with the Heat great coming up next. Very excited, Leroy. We haven't got to see this guy in a while. He's got to enjoy the retired life. He's a big TV star now out in Hollywood. Heat legend Dwayne Wade. We get him on in the midst of the Eastern Conference Finals. Dwayne, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. Excited to be on.
All right. Well, the first thing I want to get to before we get into basketball shenanigans, this is the first time we've gotten to talk to you since you got your street. Dwayne Wade Boulevard is official. Before the world went crazy, it was like the last good piece of news that happened, and you finally happened, man. So I guess what was your reaction that you're getting a street named after you in front of American Airlines Arena, Dwayne Wade Boulevard, and then the mayor's announcement and all that type of stuff?
Well, first of all, I forgot about it until like we talked and you was like, hey, man, you know, I want to talk about the Boulevard. I actually forgot about that the mayor did that because so much happened went on, you know, in those few months since it's been announced. But you know, just it's one of those things. First of all, is I have to thank you. I have to thank you guys for your platform of really making it a conversation. It's not nothing that I came to Miami when I landed on that plane. It's nothing that I came to Miami saying I won't. But I always drove by and was like, man, it would be cool one day. If I got it. It would be cool. And so, you know, for it to happen, I mean, I think it says way more than what I did on a basketball court. I think it says what I did in the community, how people feel about me in the community of Miami. So it's just one of those things, man, that I just can't even, like, it's like pinch myself and wake me up. But it just don't seem real.
I know the world went crazy after it was announced. Like you said, like, you almost forget that it happened. But, like, do you have any idea when, like, it'll all get christened and, like, you guys can come on out? Like, has there been any talks to that? Because, I mean, whenever it happens, I'm sure people, like, all want to come out and celebrate it because it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I have no idea. But if you guys think I had 3 days for my retirement jersey, what y'all think I'm going to do for the Bullets?
Yeah.
Well, we got a week.
Listen, we're going to party. That's all I know. So,
right.
You know, I just know it's going to be a celebration, and I want it to be a celebration of everybody in the city, you know, so the right time, it will happen at the right time, man, and I cannot wait, but it's definitely going to be, we did 3 days, we looking at a week.
Well, we wanted to give you something because I know when we originally were doing the whole thing, you liked the street sign, so we got you, like, not the little one that I got, we got you big old official.
Ooh-wee. Yeah,
that's...
Yeah, that's, I need that. I'm gonna send you my address. We can ship that to me.
Listen, that's, check this out.
That's official. That's official street size.
Let's put it like this. See that little one?
Yep.
That's what could fit in our house.
Yeah.
see that big one? Pick a house.
Yeah, I got a little room for it. I got room.
Well, yeah, man, just congratulations again. It's much deserved. We're very happy for you, and that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it is a cool thing.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. It's like I said, once again, like, even, you know, and I think people think, like, you know, you're supposed to expect to get your jersey retired and certain things, but, like, you know, when you pick up that basketball and you start playing the game, you just do it for the love. And then at some point for me, it became a way out, you know, a way out for my family. But you know, I never thought about the accolades that would come with it. And you know, the All-Star games, the championships, and all those things are just dreams that you have of one day hopefully being a part of that. But after that, the jersey retirement is the street sign. Like, it's beyond my wildest dreams. So I
look back and go, wow, look at that.
I got something to talk to my grandkids about. I'm going to be talking. Yeah. I'm the old dude. I'm going to be way better than I ever was. I want y'all know that when I get grandkids. I'm going to be cold.
Well, you know, I got a street named after me over there in Miami.
Yeah, for real. I'm going to be telling all kind of crazy stories that never happened. So
they're going to be, Grandpa, you tripping.
Did you have a favorite part of the jersey retirement weekend? Like, was there something that was just, was it the moment it went up? Was it hearing from everybody? Like, that was a wild thing. It was cool seeing everybody getting that whole thing to celebrate you. But what... I guess out of all of it, what is something that you're always going to take away as, like, I guess the Kodak moment of it?
Yeah, the faces, you know, of everybody that was a part of the journey. You know what I mean? Like, from the first person who picked me up when I landed in Miami and throughout their entire time. It was a moment that was about me, but I really wanted to give everybody else their roses, you know, even in my speech. And I tried to. My speech went long, and it could have went way longer, but just seeing everybody that was a part of this journey, man, that really helped make it possible for me to be able to perform and be able to do the things away from basketball that I've been able to do to get to that moment. So,
hey, the video got me, man. Woo!
The video?
Woo! The video with the people?
Yeah.
Coming in, I'm like, man, come on. Yeah, we're supposed to be celebrating.
Yeah,
ourselves a tent jerker up here.
They did it right. I mean, they did it like the Miami Heat can. I mean, three days, and every day was just, it just upped each other each day, and man, it was special. So, you know, Miami Heat style.
Is there anything that they've done? Like, everything is done top notch.
Yeah, everything.
Every event.
But me leaving, everything else besides that was
there. Yeah, yeah.
All right. That moment, you know, that's a whole other story. But Everything else has been great. I mean, they're the best, you know, when it comes to, you know, knowing how to, even just when it comes to the community, of knowing how to, you know, integrate the community and the organization together and make it feel as one. They set a bar around the NBA for how you should do things in the arena, you know, developing players, like whatever it is. I mean, they demand excellence. Pat Riley demands excellence. Mickey Arison and his family demands excellence, and everyone delivers.
Well, I mean, you leave in, great recruitment. Like, it worked with getting Jimmy here, so it wasn't all bad.
No. It wasn't as bad at the time. It ended up being a great thing.
Yeah. It was. You've said that he was the perfect match. I'm curious how you've taken this, because they're in the midst of the Eastern Conference Finals right now. You know, Game 4 against the Celtics, and you know, you've been like, it's been fun watching on Twitter and reacting to all the big moments. And you've said, like, playoff Jimmy, let me introduce everybody to this. And now it's funny because everybody's talking about, you know, the Heat starts are slow. They're slow. They're slow. Oh, they're coming out and, you know, they got to come out of the gates firing. And Jimmy's got to shoot more. Jimmy's got to be more aggressive from the jump. So I'm curious, as a guy who's had the burden of being the guy on the team and the guy that everybody looks to, what is that like? Because he's got, it seems like he doesn't, waver at anything emotionally. So from playing with him, what do you think you're going to get from that? Like, is it just like he just sees how the game plays out in his own comfort, or do you think he's going to try and force the issue and things like that? It's tough to read on him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to start off this before I say what I think. I'm going to say, I don't know. I have no idea, right? But the one thing, when you're going through something like that, you listen to 1% of what everybody has to say, and 99% just trust your work, trust your team, trust your coaching staff, trust what got you here, right? But 1%, I say, because it is a few people who you allow to let in. Like, Jimmy will allow me to give him some, you know, some words of what I think he should do. So it's 1% of people you let in, but 99% of everybody else, They no one thought the Miami Heat would be here. No one thought Jimmy, you know, would be even a great fit for the Heat. It's a lot of things that people on the outside didn't even think. So don't even worry about what they think now. When you're in a playoff series, you know, it's just all about adjustments, right? So the Heat way has been working for this many games. And then Boston made some adjustments. They made some changes. And it's like, oh, man, they got to start doing this. They got to start doing that. But it's been working for them. So, yes.
You're up 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, like, but this is how it goes. If Boston, you know, unfortunately, if Boston wins the next game, it's going to be like, Miami ain't got a chance. They can't win. They should never been in this. It's just, that's going to be the conversation. And you got to understand that. But one thing you do, trust your work. Jimmy Butler is who he is. We know if Jimmy wanted to come out aggressive, Jimmy has the ability to come out aggressive. It's on him. He has to fill the game. He has to read the game. He has to read his teammates and understand what is needed from him. And we got to sit back and allow him to do that. And I think he will. Even if he come out and pass the first 10 plays, if we hit 5 threes on those plays, no one's going to say Jimmy need to come out aggressive. Right. It's just, you know, it's just the way it is.
I'm amazed at one thing about the Heat, and I've never seen this until this year. Can you imagine a time where Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra depended on so many first year and second year players?
Yeah, it's crazy, like, right?
I keep thinking of Chalmers and just everybody yelling at Rio. And now you got 3 or 4 of them that are playing or contributing.
Yeah, that you're dependent on.
Right. I can't imagine that Pat Riley went into this year saying, you know, we're going to lean on these young fellas, because it's never been this thing.
2020, first of all. It's just 2020. Things, right? Pat Riley, that is 2020 all in a nutshell, everybody. Right. You have to evolve with the game. The game has, you know, and I was talking to my next door neighbor, DeMar DeRozan, a good friend of mine. We were talking about this, and he said when he came in the league, it was the guys like LeBron and myself and Kobe and those guys who, you as a young guy, you just had to wait your turn. You know, Chris Bosh was the man in Toronto at that time, and you just had to wait your turn. But now the young guys coming in, and it right away it's their turn. They don't have to sit and go in a developmental program. You know, if you're talented enough, you don't have to go into that program right away. They're giving you the keys to the team. When Darrell Wright came in, he wasn't going to get the keys to the team no matter what happened. He was a young kid. It was going to take time to develop him. But Darrell Wright comes in now, he's a different story for him. His career it going a total different way. So it's just evolving with the times. And right now, when you got guys like Jamal Murray, who's what is he, 21, 22? I mean, it's just the game has just continued to evolve. The talent level continues to not, I can't say get better. It's changing. They're getting greater at what the style of play is for now, right? Three-pointers allows you to score more points. That's why a lot of records will be broken if people stay healthy, because of the game has now changed. There's more opportunities to score.
You think it hurts a lot of young guys, too, that are brought into these teams, but they aren't ready, but the team can't afford for them not to be ready?
That could be an argument. I think, and here's my difference of today's game versus the game that I played, and this is no knock on today's game at all. It's just this is the difference, right? I felt that nowadays you have to be a great – you have to be able to play one-on-one. You have to have great one-on-one ability, meaning you have to have great talent in this league. When I came in, you had to know how to play the game of basketball. Right? It was a different style. It wasn't about your ability, your talent. There's a lot of guys who had way more talent than me and never got a chance to really have a long career because it wasn't just about your talent. It was about your way to be able to play basketball, play team basketball. Now, it's your ability, your talent, your ability to be able to go one-on-one, it's your ability to be able to shoot the three and certain things. So the game has – it's shifted. It's changed. And so you can say a young player may – it may hurt a young player, but also, too, they're getting so much more opportunities to just use their talent that they work on with their trainers. They get to use that, and it's successful for this game. I mean, it's exciting because they're putting points on the board. So it's just a different – it's a different mentality, a different way. We have to all change our thought process on the way that you come into this game and be successful.
Speaking of like the young guys of it, because I remember when we asked UD, we talked to Alonzo about Bam. You all said the same thing. Like he works so damn hard and that you only had to tell him one thing once. And he just processed that way more maturely than somebody, at his age was, you know, 20 at the time. And it feels like a lot of the guys around the team this year are saying the same things about Tyler Hero. So, like, what is particularly with Miami, like, what is that secret sauce of the young guys that guys just glam onto and feel like they have that it factor? Because I think it was Jay Crowder who said one of the reasons that they trust him so much on this big stage is because they know that he puts in the work in practice to take those shots, and you feel good about him in those moments, even with him only being 20.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you got to give the credit to the individuals. You got to give the credit to their parents. You got to give credit to, you know, Bam's mother and who raised him, right? They raised a young man, and they didn't raise a kid. He didn't come in as a kid. He came in as a young man. And Tyler came in, you know, you got to give credit to him and his surroundings and where he played because he came in ready. He has that it factor. Some things you're born with. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, the Miami Heat and the work, that's what you do with Miami. Everyone knows this. You're going to work. And I know people are like, oh, it's just work. Everyone works. No, everyone don't work like Miami works. And as a player, you know, especially young guys, if they still doing it the same way, as a player, you get to walk upstairs before practice start, and the younger guys are going, they are full sweat already before practice. Then you practice. You got to go hard. You got to do extra as a young guy. You got to get into drills more. You got to do a little more. And then after practice. After practice, they got to work again. So it's just you see the work. You see those guys getting better. So you trust them in those moments. And you can see with Tyler, they trust him. I mean, he shot some shots that I was like, ooh.
Walking the threes. I've never seen nothing like that.
Neither. Like,
just walk on in. And everybody's like, oh.
So that's the respect that he has in that locker room. And you know, talking to UD, I think UD, you know, said to me, he was like, man, you know, this team – is no one cares, like really. And I know people say that on the outside sometimes. Mm-hmm. Oh, we all celebrate each other's success. That's not always the case. That's just only when you're winning.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, when you have a leader like Jimmy, when you have a leader like UD, right, UD is going to push the culture. He's going to push the message to the guys over and over. Jimmy is unselfish, right? He's an unselfish star in this league where he doesn't care. He can score 6 points and walk away having a great game because he does so many other things, right? But they all celebrate each other. They all actually care about each other's success. When you have someone, when you have everyone from the star to the last player on the team, from minute wise, really care about each other's success that way and want to see each other do well, And that's why you can play, you can have the success that they're having this year.
Duncan Robinson, he was on JJ Redick's podcast recently. we talked about this yesterday morning, that he thinks that he's genuinely asking if he thinks he would get more respect from opponents not attacking him as much as on defense and referees if he were to get full sleeve tattoos. Do you feel that Duncan Robinson would improve the respect he gets and garners from his peers if he were to go full sleeves?
Absolutely not. His aesthetic ain't changing.
He ain't built for tattoos.
Yeah, his body ain't built for that kind of respect. You know, some people like Tyler, if he had a sleeve and all this, that his body is built for it. Duncan's and his, listen, I love Duncan. I'll tell Duncan, you got one job, shoot the ball. But I don't want to see Duncan with sleeves and all
he
that.
He built like a Plumlee.
Yeah, Duncan built like a basketball player. Like, right. Basketball swag. When he's done some amazing things. But when he take the court, you're not like, oh, that dude right there got something with him. No, yeah. You're not. Like,
he's a just, hard worker and right. Lights out shooter.
Right. You know what I mean? He gonna shoot. He's going to keep moving. They're going to set a lot of screens for him. Like, he's going to do his job. But, like, I don't want to see him with no sleeve. Listen. I got tattoos now, but I don't want to see Duncan with tattoos ever. Let me say that.
Have you tried Jimmy Butler's coffee? And if so, is it worth $20?
I can't get it. I can't get it. But I think he's going where I think he's going with it. I think we all will be able to get Big Face coffee. You know, I think he's trademarked and I think he's going somewhere with this. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, having his own coffee shop.
Anyway, your boy price gouging though. $20 a cup?
Yeah, he tripping. Small, medium, and large. Yep. Listen, man, we have to. You know what we'll do? We'll get a key to Jimmy's room when he ain't in there, man. We'll go in there and make our own coffee.
He got it on lockdown because Goran sent out a video of him knocking at the door and he wasn't there. He got turned away.
You got to get the key. You got to go to the equipment manager and say, y'all need a key to Jimmy's room. We'll be in there for 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know how to do it. I'll go get me some coffee for free.
Can we get the terms of the Paul Pierce bet? What is on the line in the series?
It's just a gentleman bet, just some wine, a couple bottles of wine. That's all. He sent me his favorite wine. I sent him mine, and just a gentleman's bet. Nothing too crazy.
Please, I hope you win, D-Wade, because I can't take it.
But I'm gonna talk. Listen, now once we get that fourth win, now you're gonna see me.
Oh, get him
wine that he sends me. Now I'm gonna make sure that it's out there, but. I mean, you know what, man? It's just great to be able to be on this side and be able really to root for your team, man. Like, you guys know, man, like, we're done. We're has-beens. No one wants to see us play basketball ever again in life. And to be able to still have, like, something in someone and to be a part of something and have something to root for and be able to talk a little trash back and forth, this is the best part about it. We get to do that, you know?
Finally, if he win the championship, do you think that Pat Riley would retire and go off to South to SoCal with you? Like, do you think that would be the storybook for him? Like, how much longer do you think he's going to do this? He seems so happy because he found Jimmy and they seem like a match made in heaven. But I got to imagine it at 75. I don't know how much longer he wants to do this. So do you think that if they were to win the championship, he'd call it?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to have to roll him out. I've heard him say a lot of things over my time. He said he want to build a team to get back to a championship. I don't see it. I see Riley just being there. And that doesn't mean someone else want to eventually come in and, you know, they kind of really help. Like, who's next, right? Who's going to be the next person to be the president of the team? They got to get to that point where they start molding somebody. Because I don't think that they're going to bring nobody in from the outside. So it has to be somebody inside. So who's next? I don't know if they molding someone yet or not. So I think they're going to have to wheel him out. I think he's going to be around. His office is going to still be his office. And even if he's not in that position, he's still going to come in to practice every day. Like, this is his life. This is what he loves. This is him. So I don't see him going anywhere.
You looking to get molded?
Me? I live in California, man. I'm out here right now.
Thank you.
A couple years you get bored. I don't know. Hey,
do I get any credit for the Jimmy Butler? Do I get any GM?
Yes, you do. It was a great executive move. You know, I don't know if you want to be like Magic Johnson where you're just like, I'll just be on the outskirts and, you know, I could just, you know, be shadow president, you know, just you know.
I am. You know, I'm going to say this too. Like, I've sent Pat over the years a lot of people that I'm like, oh, I think this guy is going to be good. Let me just say I'm thankful that Jimmy worked out because a lot of them ain't worked out. You just never heard of the other one.
But D-Way, here's the thing. Like, you love basketball. You love talking about basketball. You love watching basketball. But it's the time. It's the time you would have to commit.
Yeah.
Doing something like that. Everybody think, oh, he's great at basketball. He could spend that much time. No. That's why I never wanted to be a coach.
Coaching is all totally out of here. But even when it comes to president and GM, like that, it's not even about that. It's about you gotta learn that business. That's a whole that ain't got nothing to do with like, you know, I could text Riles and say, hey, I like this player, you should look at him. It goes way bigger than that. You got to know all, like, I mean, Andy is it, like, if Andy around, maybe I could do a little something, as long as Andy stay around. But, like, you got to know so much about the business, you know what I mean? So much about contracts and, you know, how all that stuff work. As players, we don't know about all that. Like, you and, like, maybe Chris Paul do and guys that's in the Players Association. Mm-hmm. But the guys that's playing, if you haven't taken time and, you know, and knew all that, you can't just walk into being a GM or a president that easy. It's not going to be that easy at all. So, I don't want that life right now. I mean, I just got out of basketball. I love it, but I'm enjoying life the way it is right now and trying to figure something else out and, you know, do this TV stuff that I'm doing with TNT. I love it. It's fun. And no pressure right now. So I'm chilling.
Well, thank you for giving us time. Congrats again on D-Wade Boulevard. I'm so glad it finally came through about time. It took long enough. but it's well deserved, man. And so really thank you for giving us some time, and it's been fun breaking down some heat with you, and it's been fun following you on social media during the games.
Yeah, man, I got more. When my wife and my team is not scheduling me to do something during the Heat game, I can give y'all more content. I've been scheduled to do something twice. I'm like, the Heat game is on, like, but you know,
oh man,
myself. I'm working on my anger and everything on this side. I'm going to therapy, y'all. So just bear with me.
Dwayne, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
As always, man. Appreciate thanks. You. Thank you again for pushing the Dwayne Wade Boulevard. Means something.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you. It is the morning of game four. You, of course, can listen to that game here on 790 The Ticket. Thanks again to Dwayne Wade for giving us so much time and talking a little D-Wade Boulevard and, of course, Eastern Conference Finals. That was fun, Leroy.
Yep.
That flew.
I wanted to say it. There was two moments. First of all, I wasn't going to get UD.
Oh, I would have right. been so mad.
I was expecting it. I thought that it was coming to Dwayne Wade's face.
And the other thing is I didn't know D-Wade had as much petty in him.
It just kind of
slipped. I don't think he realized.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Everybody, everything's, they do everything perfect except for letting me leave.
But you watched that documentary. The petty was all over that.
Yeah, I know. Look, man, I'm telling you. You have to understand that some of the things that drive athletes at this level or things like that. So when the career's over, they don't just forget. Otherwise, it wouldn't have drove him in the first place.
True.
You know, so from that standpoint, I can pretty much guarantee you to this day, LeBron has petty for Skip Bayless. That ain't going to go away. Now, the funny thing about the guy being driven by that and the other side is they always think it's gone, water under a bridge. It's not. It's not.
But he is still texting Pat Riley, guys who they can get.
It doesn't mean that they can't be friends and cordial or whatever, right? To think just because he feels they did him wrong. See, there's a lot of people in the organization that D-Wade probably just loves, right?
Yep.
So when you think of UD, you think of Spoelstra, you think of some of the assistant coaches, some of the real relationships that D-Wade has, the training staff, stuff like that. Where if the organization did him wrong, does that mean that now you can't, like, you... All them people would be just a member of the Heat. You would be like, the hell with all of them. But that's not that easy to do.
I think he digs being president of the Heat. I think we read it. Yep.
No.
Take credit for Jimmy Butler?
No. Hey, It's a lot different.
Text the right
shooting
soon.
Out what, a tweet.
Was it me or was Wade starting when talking about the president's job? I think it piqued his interest.
No
piqued
way.
His interest. Little twinkle.
You guys are the worst.
Little twinkle in his eye. Just a little twinkle. I don't think he wants to do it anytime soon. I think you're right.
Hey.
But a little twinkle in his eye.
I thought because of, you know, the fewer people in the bubble, that Snitchy could go ahead on and spend some time with Minnie. But evidently, we got somebody, we got Ocean's One up in here. Because D-Wade is planning a break-in. And now Snitchy got to go back to work.
Snitchy, what happens if you see someone try and break into another guest room?
I can't unhear what I just heard.
Dexter writes in, who is the guy on the Heat roster who's able to ask for the key for Jimmy Butler's room to get coffee? I mean, I guess, I feel like Goron is the list. Like, cause
well, Goron got locked out.
But like, maybe if Goron hears this advice... And then he's like, oh, pretty good idea, D-Wade. So I go ask, I ask Ron, the equipment guy. I say, hey, lift my headphones in Yemi's room. Let me in, please. And so then
they don't have the keys to the room.
Are you? It made it sound like they did.
No.
Like maybe they have to have it like in case Jimmy.
Here's what happens.
In case Jimmy forgets a jersey or something. I don't know.
No, here's what happens. This is how it goes. They, you have your key. You're the only one that has your key. But I'm assuming they have bed check and stuff like that, right?
One would think.
And what happens is security or the coach or whoever's doing it gets a master key and he goes and checks every room. So there is a master key, but I think that they return that key when they're done. And sometimes hotel security is with them. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, it ain't going to be that easy. Just give me a key.
Oh, man.
But what if he go in there and break Jimmy's coffee maker?
Oh, I mean, hell to pay. Like if he touches something he doesn't realize. No.
What if Jimmy uses special ingredients?
What if Jimmy makes it with love? And that doesn't.
Hey, man. Love, get out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
Another text
writes
in. Love
don't make food taste better.
Dwayne definitely hesitated on president question.
Hey,
had to make sure there were no spoiler alerts.
I'm going to tell you like this. I love my wife, right?
Yep.
Sometimes she's been known to throw up a couple of stinkers in the kitchen. Love didn't make it taste better.
Not me. Love always makes my wife's food taste good.
That's because she just walked by.
She's not here anymore. But in case there's the wrong ears out there listening, yep. I never know. Anyway, yep. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got Jason Jackson joining us next hour. We'll talk a little Heat with Jax as well. And Robbie will get you caught up with your headlines and where things stand. We got the Fish, who are also in a playoff race. Heat have the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. It's all happening for us here, man. That's next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.